Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In a fallen world, many of the gifts that we have turn out to be mixed blessings. Right now, I'm thinking about computers. And I'm thinking about the world that they create as we use them. Now, don't get me wrong, I love my computer. I get a lot done, and I get it done in a hurry. And I have no desire to return to the days of using a manual typewriter. Can anyone here actually remember using a manual typewriter? But the computer is a mixed blessing because it can create a world simply that is not real, and we can slowly be deceived into thinking that it is. And we get used to how that world on the screen works. The biggest lie might be something like this, that information which is readily available, information is both power and wisdom. And so at the touch of our fingers are more data, more facts than any reasonable human being could need in several lifetimes. But the danger is that I might confuse information with wisdom. And computers are fast. They are so unbelievably fast, and you can get stuff done in a hurry. But that too is something of a lie, because none of the important things that happen between human beings ever happen quickly. I don't want to continue my Jeremiad against computers much longer, but I just want to tell you about one more thing. My favorite little feature on the software that I use. It's a great little button, and it's easy, and it's completely a lie. It's that little button with the arrow, and it curves around up to the left, and it's called undo. That's a great button. I love that button. You just click it. If you screw up, if you make a mistake, if you write something you shouldn't write, if you make an error and you need to fix it, you just click on undo, and you're back to where you started. And it's easy. Any idiot can undo a mistake. Have you ever wished that there was an undo button in your life? You not only thought those words, you spoke them. You hurled them, and you could almost see them driving into the heart of the target, and all you wanted to do was click on undo. But it doesn't work like that. That's not the way the real world is. Once committed, sin is not easy to undo. And then there was that time when trust was betrayed. And no matter how hard you try, you can't get it back. You make choices, I take paths, and we simply aren't good enough. We don't even know how to undo the damage. Think about some more simple examples, real life examples with me. It's a lot easier, to take that frustrating, tangled bunch of rope or that shoestring or whatever, and in your frustration, you're going to fix it. You give it that hard, punishing yank, and now it takes a genius to fix it. Now it takes wisdom and time and perspective and effort to undo that tangled mess. You can just slop together a building project, pounding nails, cutting boards here and there, throwing up the structure without squaring up the walls or tying in the joists. You just work away until you find that the whole thing is ready to collapse. But then to be good enough to undo, to be smart enough, patient enough, strong enough, wise enough to undo, not many people. I have a friend in the ministry who's retired now, and I always have admired him. He never stayed in one call more than about 5 years, but there was a reason why. He had decided that it was his gift and his job to go into congregational situations of conflict where sin and Satan had done their dirt and their damage. And he would do the hard work of beginning to undo the damage. I admire that man a lot. I always have. I always will. I used to marvel at his courage and his wisdom and his love. And that's because in real life, undo is always harder than do. And the people who can actually do the undo deserve our admiration and our gratitude and our praise. Brothers and sisters, my goal for this morning's homily is simple, and it is this. I invite you to admire Jesus Christ. I invite you to show your gratitude to Jesus Christ. I invite you to praise Jesus Christ. Because the essential meaning of this reading from Romans chapter 5, this back and forth, first this, first that, first Adam, second Adam reading, is this, that damage was done, but then came Jesus Christ to undo the damage. That's what the Apostle Paul says about Jesus and his deeds. Here's how he says it. Through one man, Paul says, sin entered the world. Through one man, sin entered the world. I got to thinking about the psychology of Adam. I mean, you felt, haven't you, regret when you see that you've done damage? I mean, that's a terrible feeling. What was Adam's psychology like when he realized what he had done? I decided he needed the help of both Salmonen and Hartung and probably Dr. Phil thrown in as well. Paul says that through Adam, sin entered the world. And the damage and the danger and the damnation has been there ever since. And we know because we've added to it. And then there's death. With sin came death. You know, both my parents are still living. They're in their 80s. But in the last couple of weeks, my father has been short of breath. The doctors don't seem too concerned about it yet. They're doing tests. But it reminds me that, without being overly grim about it, probably pretty soon, my father is going to die. And that won't separate him from Christ, not at all, because nothing can do that, and my father believes that. But it will separate him from me, and from my mom, and from this good creation that God wants him to enjoy. That's what the first Adam did. He did death. Paul says that even before the law was given so that you could keep score, before there was even a law where you could keep the tally as to how many sins you had committed, he says death was still there. In fact, he doesn't say death was there. He says death was the king. He says death ruled from Adam to Moses. Death is the sign of God's judgment. God's judgment against sinful humans was there. And that's what Adam did. Sin and its sickness, death and its damage, condemnation. That's what the first Adam began. And to that work, we have all added our part. And it is just so hard to imagine a world without those things. Now, here's your opportunity. Your opportunity to admire and to be grateful and to praise. Jesus Christ is the second Adam, and he has undone the work of the first. Here's what Paul says. where there was God's rightful, righteous condemnation, now there is vindication, innocence, freedom, restoration, and a place. Even while we were still sinners, even though we are still sinners, this is what Christ has done. How great is that? In the place of guilt, there is innocence. In the place of punishment, there is release. And it's in Jesus Christ because he undid the damage. Adam was disobedient. Jesus Christ was obedient, perfectly obedient to the Father's plan. And he lived for you. And he lived with you in his heart. And he suffered in your place to reverse your fate. And he died. Jesus died. Adam number one dragged us down into sin and death. But Adam number two went down. He went down into death. And in doing that, he undid the condemnation and he reversed the curse. And he took sinners in the sight of God and he stood us on our feet and he made us to be righteous in the sight of God. You measure up now. You are what God desires now in Jesus Christ. How about that for beauty and power and grace and a gift? And there's more. There's more. Jesus undid death. Your death and mine. He did it by doing it, by overcoming it himself. He conquered death. He made it weak and powerless. He made it disappear. He died, but he rose, and he will never die again. Death is undone. And because of this, and because of your baptismal union with the second Adam, your death is undone. I know, it's in the future, and we look for it. But it will come. The day will come, and that's why we look for it with longing and with certain and sure hope. Sin forgiven now, curse removed, and death itself, he will undo it in your body and in mine and in the whole of creation. The damage, by means of the sin of the one man, death ruled. But now, by much more, Paul says, by much more, those who receive the abundant grace and gift of righteousness will rule in life. We will rule in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. He is our hope, and he receives our admiration and our gratitude and our praise. He did it for you. He receives your praise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.